the biggest worry for me, boys, was that the camera panned on Harry Kane going off the field at the end. And if there was anybody that's, if there was a sign that says, oh, come and buy me, it was that.
We really hope you like this video. Just subscribe, like, and click the bell to be notified of more content just like this. The Zoomers ride again, and riding being the operative word, because of course it's been Cheltenham this week. John Richardson in Chester, Charlie McCann ensconced on the rock. Rachel Blackmore, we're here usually to talk about football, but we've got to start with Rachel Blackmore, haven't we, Charlie McCann?
Yeah, she's a fantastic jockey. She's a fantastic jockey. I couldn't give a hoot whether she's a woman or not. The bottom line, she's a fantastic jockey. It's as simple as that. She's not a good jockey. Every time you have a look, she's hit the deck five times as well. But every time she's given a horse a ride, she's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. She's tactically so, so good. But she's been like this for 3 years. You've got to remember, she won her first at Cheltenham Festival 2 years ago, her first race at the Cheltenham Festival 2 years ago. It is possible, of course, with the same horse at Ploutard, that she will win the Champion Hurdle and the Gold Cup in the same meeting. I mean, it's completely... But the bottom line is, she is not good. She's brilliant. But she is this day in, day out. Don't kid yourself. But people like me, you know, and this is not unusual. Nobody in racing is thinking, it's Rachel Blackmore you're talking about. She's the second best jockey. Statistically, she rides the second most. You know, she hasn't come out of nowhere. She is in the same way that Holly Doyle is. Racing is blessed with, you know, and you have Bryony Frost as well, who, of course, has won Group 1, who won the King George. Racing is, you know, women can compete, you know, on a level playing fields with men. And that is the case, because, you know, possible that there may be more intelligence and things like that. But I tell you what, those two especially are tactically so good. They give every horse a ride. She's very aggressive. She's tactically so good. And she seems to be a very, you know, a great girl as well. You know, a really level-headed girl.
Older, I mean, to people like us who sort of dip in and out of big meetings in Cheltenham, the Grand National, Rico, I mean, you say, oh, Rachel Blackmore. I mean, Rachel Blackmore this week, the one thing she came out with, it was almost like, look, stop talking to me about me being a woman. I'm a jockey, as Charlie said, she's a jockey. But it's still an astonishing story, you know, in the biggest race meeting of the year, arguably, that she's going to be top jockey and could win the Gold Cup and the Champion Hurdle.
Like you, Rob, I duck in and out, and I've watched every day. And I tell you what, it's been an absolute breath of fresh air. I feel absolutely made up with it, because, you know, you get a bit down with everything that's happening. And it's just fantastic. I mean, Charlie knows better than me, but these racing people seem fantastic to deal with. You know, there's no egos. And Rachel, she seems charming herself. And you're right, there's been no, oh, she's a woman. Oh, a woman in a man's will. It's not. It's just all accepted.
Charlie, just a last word on it. Who wins the Gold Cup? You said last week.
I thought Champ would win the Gold Cup 7 days ago, but you almost think if Rachel's horse at Ploutard, the grounds come right for it. It almost could be written. I don't think a Ploutard will stay, but the money has come for everyone. She's just getting onto the Rachel Blackmore bandwagon. History, you would imagine, because Album Fozo, of course, is becoming bids to become the first horse since Best Mate to win the race 3 years on the run. I think that was 2002 to 2004, Best Mate. We don't see much of Album Fozo, not just in Britain, but he only has one race as a prep race on New Year's Day. A Tremor, almost two laps of a lap of honour. Nobody really, one of his stable mates, Acapella Bourgeois, takes him on every year and gets lapped. So he doesn't have the same affinity. I think it would be a much bigger story if a Ploutard wins. Henry de Promet, as well, who's the trainer of Minella. Rachel has ridden all the Cheveley Park horses, and Rachel rode Minella Indo as well. It would not surprise me if Rachel's I don't know if she had the choice, but she normally rides Nell Endo. That's how good she is, that she could have ridden two of probably the four favourites in the Gold Cup. That's how highly... The story, of course, has also been that, you know, we have these meetings in Britain, and every week, you know, bookmakers' representatives, including myself in the past, have gone up and said to people like Ed Chamberlain, such and such is, you know, in Britain, that, you know, races at Sandown or Kempton, this is 8-1 for the this race at the Cheltenham Festival. But the winners are in Ireland. The winners are all in Ireland. I mean, that is the statistics, of course. Is it 16-5 after 21 races? This is just extraordinary.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. You know, and you know, some of them, you know, De Bromhead, Mullins, Sneezy Foster, of course, have taken over the license at Elliott. They are just wiping the floor with the Brits. And it's been a chastening, you know, Nicky Henderson's had two winners for Britain, but maybe Paul Nicholls hasn't. And I think this is, you know, this is really is a sort of chastening week for British racing, that the Irish have come over. Sometimes, you know, some would argue maybe not in the numbers, you know, of previous years, but my God, the good ones have come over. 16-5. Wow.
Right. Let's turn to football this week, Rico. Does Pride of Place go to Chelsea? Charlie said how keen he was on them. I don't know if you saw the performance in the week, but that looked like a different team to me. Astonishing.
I keep on saying they're a fantastic machine, but they don't score many goals. They don't excite me. They're a damn good side. But I keep on saying, you know, it's Thomas Tuchel this, it's Thomas Tuchel that. We've had all this before. Let's judge Chelsea next season. I'm not having it yet. I mean, yeah, you know, winning games, they're very compact, they're very pragmatic. They don't thrill me, but they're getting results. I suppose that's what it's about. Certainly, we're going to talk about Jose Mourinho very shortly. Imagine he would like results like that. So, you know, fair dues to Chelsea, but for me, they're not the finished article. I mean, that's unfair on him anyway, because he's got to have a few transfer windows of his own to get his own players there. But they don't score enough goals for me.
We will talk about Jose Mourinho. Just a word on Chelsea. I mean, I've got to say, N'Golo Kanté has been my favourite player certainly since the Leicester title season. And I just think this fella's unbelievable. But that was the N'Golo Kanté of Leicester, Charlie. And Rudiger, where's Rudiger come from? I mean, they just looked like a yard, 2 yards faster than they have been.
And Conte especially looks as if, you know, almost Austin Powers-ish, and he's got his mojo back. It's extraordinary. I mean, but we knew this from Leicester, that this is what, but of course he's been played in some daft positions and things like that, and he's probably, you know, just a nice bloke and sort of got on with it. And now, of course, where he's playing, where he deserves to be. But I'm not really of the opinion that Chelsea are dull either. I mean, they could have beaten Everton 6-0. You know, in Atletico Madrid, we've got a one-goal lead. You don't know whether to tick, stick or twist. But they were battered, Atletico Madrid. I know Atletico Madrid were lucky to beat Liverpool at Anfield 12 months ago in the Champions League. And the wheels have fallen off them in recent weeks in La Liga. But it's still Atletico Madrid, and they didn't get a kick. Well, they had one kick, I think, late on. I'm more impressed than John. I'll go on record as saying I think, and I said, you know, last week, I think this is going to be, they may well leapfrog Liverpool as the major threat. But as you say, I think Spurs' two lamentable performances this week, that is the story of the week for me.
Yeah.
Rico,
just back to the Chelsea game, then. Chelsea should have been down to 10 men, and Atletico Madrid should have had a penalty. So I think that might have changed things. But yeah, I respect what Charlie said.
Why wasn't the Azpilicueta one a penalty? He probably wouldn't have got double jeopardy in a sending off as well. But
I think he would, because it wasn't very. He didn't really try to play the ball, did he?
Play the ball, yeah.
He could have gone, but it was definitely a penalty.
Why was it? I mean, it sounded like from the commentary they maybe didn't have access or as much access to what's happening VAR wise. But I'm going, And even Rudiger on Suarez, who would hit the floor as soon as you look at him. I mean, that, yeah. I was thinking, gee, where's that? You know, I've seen, they said, I think Glenn Hoddle said, I've seen those given, but the Aspilicueta one, they've not even looked at that or didn't seem to.
Well, obviously the VAR operators in Europe are just as bad as ours.
Yeah.
But maybe they should all go to Specsavers because, I mean, there's been some peculiar decisions, haven't there? I mean, we've talked about that in previous weeks, but there's nothing wrong with the machinery. It's the people operating it that you've got to have a look at.
Rico, stay with you on Spurs. I watched, I was flicking between all the games last night, but focused on Spurs in the end. But it was also the Spurs-Arsenal performance from Jose's team, which I think fans would be bitterly disappointed, would be an understatement.
I think all three of us thought that we didn't think Jose Mourinho was the right man for Spurs. And then suddenly, I don't know, November, December, they go on this run and they're near the top of the league. And you think, oh, well, he's got his mojo back. But now he's back to his fault position, if you like. And what I didn't like last night was he threw his players under the bus, you know, in the interview. Very honest interview, very good interview. But if you were a player in that Tottenham dressing room, you think, oh, well, it's all about us and not you, Jose. I mean, it's, you know, Jose is the manager. He's the coach. He's got to get the best out of these players. It's like a conductor in an orchestra. It's up to the conductor to produce, hopefully produce the best music. It's no use the conductor saying after a bad performance, oh, it's the violinists were off, you know, this and that. I mean, it's down to the conductor and it's down to Jose Mourinho. It's his side. And especially coming fast on the heels of that anemic display against Arsenal, the worrying signs. And the biggest worry for me, boys, was the camera panned on Harry Kane going off the field at the end. And if there was a sign that says, oh, come and buy me, it was that. You know, he looked absolutely... Well, he looked down in the mouth. It was obviously hurting him. And that's the worry, because people like Harry Kane, they're not going to stick around much longer. If this Tottenham team isn't going to do anything, it doesn't look like it's going to do anything. What I can't get my head around is that Tottenham's strength is in attack. They've got three or four top-class forwards. But Jose doesn't play to that, does he? That's not his DNA. It's all about being pragmatic, being defensive. Defensively, they're not good enough, and they got shown up last night. So these are worrying times for Tottenham. And the League Cup final against Manchester City at the end of next month is so vital for Jose's future. Because if they win that, he can turn around and say, well, I was brought here to win silverware. But Tottenham fans, well, we know fully well, you can look on social media, they're up in arms at the moment. They're not happy with this. And it's worrying times for Tottenham and Jose Mourinho.
I think we've all said that we're not maybe the biggest fans of social media, but I did have a little look at the reaction, Charlie. And I think we can safely say it wasn't very pro-Mourinho. But it was... I mean, I watched the whole of the Arsenal, the North London derby, and it is that thing, you know, it's just like, lads, any chance of attacking?
Yeah, that was worse to me. You know, this is your biggest game of the season. You've got, you know, the possibility of writing history and, you know, going undefeated against Arsenal for six games. You get a fantastic opening goal when you've been completely outplayed and you just think to yourself, wow, you know, that will settle them down. They're going to have, you know, they're going to play. And no, it was appalling. It really was. That was... as much as anything, that wasn't good. And some of those players on there are just not good enough to play for Tottenham Hotspur, I'm afraid. I think, you know, Mourinho, what he's, you know, done in the transfer window, I mentioned some of the names, you know, previously. I just think there's about five or six that just aren't good enough to play for Spurs. You know, Eric Dyer, you know, is... Dyer by name, and you know it just isn't good enough, you know.
Charlie, do you think Rio Ferdinand said in commentary, he said, I feel like Harry Kane's missed in when he was as a pundit this week, I feel Harry Kane's missed the boat in terms of a massive where does he go in this current climate financially as well? Where does Harry Kane go if he is to go?
Yeah, if he is to go, who can afford him? If everybody seems to be, it would appear that everyone seems to be wanting Haaland. Haaland is the one from Dortmund who does seem to be going to move this. Manchester United and Liverpool were the ones who don't get Haaland. I think none of us think that Salah, Firmino and Mane will all be playing for Liverpool next year. So there may be a merry-go-round of these, but I personally think Kane will stay because I think, he is, as the song goes, one of us. But I whether he's going to be an Alan Shearer in 10 years' time and look back on his career and think... But as you say, if Mourinho wins the League Cup, then, which of us is the fool? I certainly, Newcastle United won't be winning the trophy this year. Everton won't be winning the trophy this year. And he might. That's all we can say. And, of course, we've got the FA Cup this week. And that nicely, for Manchester City's next thrashing of Everton.
Rico, the last one. We'll talk about the FA Cup, surely. Last one on Harry Kane. Isn't that the case that the... Not he's missed the boat, but Barcelona, Real Madrid, the usual suspects, that nobody's got any money, have they?
No, there's two clubs that take him tomorrow if they could, and that's the two Manchester clubs. They are interested in Haaland, and obviously City are interested in Lionel Messi, but I can tell you now, Lionel Messi won't be moving. He'll be staying at Barcelona. Haaland might not go this summer. That might be the following summer. So there could be an opportunity, and I know that Pep Guardiola and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer are big Harry Kane fans, but there's a chance that he will stay because he's Tottenham through and through. But I do know that he's getting more and more frustrated and he's not happy with things. And he's got an agent who will want to try and move him on. So it's going to be an interesting summer.
We'll talk about your big game, Newcastle, and we'll talk about Charlie's big game, Everton and City in the FA Cup. Just a last one on the league programme. I watched Man United and West Ham. Were you surprised West Ham, or do you think West Ham fans, of which I've certainly got a few pals, were a little disappointed they didn't have more of a go against Manchester United, bearing in mind the position they're in? It was almost felt like a shot to nothing to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think most people were disappointed because, we've been all bullying up David Moyes and what he's done, and quite rightly, he's had a fantastic season and there's no real pressure on them. They're going for a top four spot, which deep down nobody thinks they're going to get, but they're going to have a great season, going to finish sixth, seventh or eighth. So it was a sort of a free shot, if you like. But they did a Newcastle and stayed on the back foot for most of it. It wasn't until later on that they thought, we might as well have a go. No, it was disappointing. And, when you reflect on that, you think it was a chance that went begging.
Your big game tomorrow, Charlie, Everton against Manchester City in the cup. You've been unlucky. Zinchenko was ticked off by Pope Pep, as Rico would call him, for talking about a quadruple. But are we a little bit sniffy about this Manchester City side? I mean, they're absolutely astonishing, aren't they, in any pantheon, on any generation. You're up against it tomorrow, on Sunday rather.
No, it is Saturday.
Tomorrow
night. Everton's a tomorrow night game. We are. But you saw how good we are against Burnley, and you two sneer at me when I tell you how good Everton are, and there have been little wins at Anfield, but everyone had a passage of play where they won at Anfield. That's as good as we are. Again. One for Sean Dyche there, they decided they were going to have a go at Everton. Sometimes I think Burnley play too passively as well. Burnley decided to have a good, and they could have been four up at Goodison after a quarter of an hour. It was a good game, that. But that's as good as Everton are. We can't, if there had been 50,000, 40,000 Evertonians in the ground, we would have had that much of a chance. Without that, we haven't. It's going to be a game of football because we can't kick them off the park. We haven't got the legs in midfield. They'll win 2 or 3-0 and it will be, that they'll go on international duty with, in the semi-final of the FA Cup. It's as simple as that. Everton, we can't stop them. It's as simple as that. We haven't got, Pickford's not in goal as well. And no, but But I think three of the Manchester United, I think will win at Leicester. Chelsea, I think, will win. It's that Bournemouth-Southampton game, which is in many ways the most interesting game, I think, of the quarterfinals. But, John, you may not want to hear this. Newcastle are 5-6, are odds-on favourites for the drop. I think that's probably the first time. They've always been hovering around 6-4 and things like that. You know, that Fulham game against Leeds tonight, that's a massive game, as well as the Newcastle game. You know, to me, the Premier League games this weekend are almost, you know, with Spurs playing, Arsenal playing, they're almost as interesting as the Cup quarterfinals, because I think United, you know, we talk about Tuchel's team, you know, we talk about, for some reason, Manchester United's defence was getting hammered. How many goals did Manchester United concede? You know, and this is without, you know, everyone says, oh, that whoever plays alongside Harry Kane isn't good enough. I think they are. I think the two fullbacks are very, very strong as well. I think this is, you know, and those two midfield players may not be sexy, but Scott McTominay puts a foot in, scores important goals. You know, I think he's a proper player now. Of course, you've got John's favourite player, Pogba, coming back. Fascinating. I think they'll win at Leicester, that's for sure. That would be my nap of the weekend.
Rico, Scott Parker, very bullish about Fulham. Which I think he has been all along. He says they're a much better side than they were at the start of the season, which I think is fair. But Brighton, Newcastle tomorrow, Fulham Leeds tonight. Pivotal weekend, I'm calling it, for the Toon.
It is. And the vital one is probably tonight because, you know, the way Fulham have been playing recently, you wouldn't back against them losing against Leeds. And, you know, they could win. Obviously, I'll have my Leeds shirt on tonight. Tomorrow night, Brighton really shouldn't be down there because they play some lovely football, but as we know, they can't score goals. And I hope that continues tomorrow night. But you've got to, if you're a betting man, and Charlie is, you'd go for Newcastle to be entrenched in the bottom three come late Saturday night. And that is a worry. I mean, obviously, I've looked at the forthcoming fixtures. I still think, with the big guns back, you know, the forwards after the international break, which I'm very surprised you boys haven't talked about yet.
We're going to talk about that. Don't worry, I'm coming to that.
I still think they've got enough to stay up just. But I do feel they could be in the bottom three midnight Saturday.
We recorded our show and I got off last week and they went, oh, Chris Wilder's leaving Sheffield United. We've not had a chance, Rico, to talk about it. What's your take on it?
Well, like most people, I feel he's done a fantastic job and it's very unfair. The what has happened is that basically the owner wants a director of football and he's pointed to two or three buys last summer, which you've got to hold your hands up for you, Chris Wilder, Rian Brewster, and the striker, forgotten his name, the forward, Scottish lad.
Yeah.
They haven't been good enough and maybe the goalkeeper hasn't been good enough. So as far as the owner's concerned, he turned around and said, look, you know, we need somebody to bring in better players. But, I mean, Chris Wilder has done a superb job. And let's be fair, they're going into the Championship. Who is the best candidate to bring them back? It's somebody like Chris Wilder. Nothing surprises me in football anymore. Don't think, you know, we've been around long enough. I mean, Claudio Ranieri was sacked after winning the league with Leicester City. So after that, I thought anything can happen. And it's happened again, I'm afraid, for unfortunate Chris Wilder.
Charlie, are you perched on the edge of your sofa for England, San Marino and Albania and obviously Poland as well? Are you literally can't wait for the international break?
It's, but I suppose it's got to be, you know, it's hardly, not only is it going to be mundane fair, it's just a question of, you know, this is why the Nations League now is actually better than these qualifiers because you don't have these stupid games. You don't have these daft games and you have San Marino playing against Liechtenstein and Gibraltar and you have England playing against France and etc. But I appreciate you've got to have your qualification for these games. When's the Poland game? That's one I am sort of quite interested. I want to see Klitsch and
a week on Wednesday.
It's a week on Wednesday. The only thing is, I've got to take my hat off to the authorities in just getting football going. I mean, through all of this has been astonishing. Whatever you say, it's been brilliant. But I don't know how they get around the qualifiers, Rico. I know you're possibly a more England qualifier man than me and Charlie is.
I am.
I mean, you know, just the thought of, you know, going to Albania, that's just England. I mean, these countries flying all over the world in this current pandemic. I mean, it just strikes them, and I don't know how you get away. It feels like, do you know what, lads? Let's have a 2-week break. Everybody catch their breath and we'll do it another time.
You'd be pleased to know, boys, I am not defending this international break. I mean, you've got to have qualifiers, but England, San Marino, what a waste of time that is. Albania, England, another waste of time. How many times have we played Poland? We seem to play them every week. It is boring, but, you know, we have got a World Cup to play in. You have got to qualify, but I'm with Charlie. I think the Nations League is far better, more exciting, because you've got they level everybody off and that you've got competitive games. But this does appear to be a waste of time, but you've got to have qualifiers sometimes. So here we go.
Maybe I'm dreaming this one, but I saw one sort of article from Arsene Wenger, who sits on... Did you? I mean, you can clarify.
Every 2 years.
Am I dreaming it? He was sort of saying he wants the season to be totally redone, something like March to maybe the end of September, the league season, then a World Cup or a Euros every year. I was thinking, hang on, did you see this?
I did. I think he must have been on the wacky backy, old Arsene. I don't know where he's coming from. I mean, you know, we got fixed the congestion and this would just send it into overdrive. Also, I couldn't believe it. This is Arsene, the man, you know, who loves aesthetic football. He was talking about forgetting about throw-ins and having kick-ins.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think he's got plenty of time on his hands, hasn't he?
He's getting very dangerous. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not going to happen, is it?
Last one for you, Charlie. Dillian White's going to have his name on a coin. The pound coin, would you believe, he's getting his imprint. I'm not sure it's Povetkin as well. Certainly Dillian, because it's the Rumble on the Rock coming up. All eyes point towards Gibraltar for Dillian White against Povetkin 2 next weekend. Is it causing a stir in Gibraltar? How is Gibraltar reacting to all this?
Minor stir. It was announced, I think, by Barry Hearn earlier in the week that I think it'll be 200 or 500 spectators allowed in if you've got your health card, you know, to say that you've had 2 vaccinations. And I think Gibraltar maybe is on a par with Israel for the most, everybody has been vaccinated, you know, I think over the age of, 30 has been vaccinated and certainly had one minimum. But, you know, when you have your first vaccination, you're told 3 weeks later, not 3 months later, 3 weeks later, it's been done very, very well. So I think it's 150 quid. It's one of those things that this weekend, and we're going out for dinner on Saturday with friends, and we are actually considering, do we stump up the cash? You and I, Rob, I know for a fact you've been to a world title fight, because we went to Thompson versus Chris Eubank in Leeds going back so many years. Does it appeal to me? Not particularly. I must say, but because it's there's also talk of the Netherlands coming to Gibraltar as well. I'd be more interested in going to that. There's a possibility again of about 500 spectators if you have your full vaccination card of being allowed into that. I think there's every chance of me trying to get into that. It's extraordinary when you think, you know, you'd have told me 12 months ago that Gibraltar would be housing a world title fight, a heavyweight title fight, you know, you just thought you were bonkers. But, you know, a lot of the time they've been in Abu Dhabi as well, recently as well. And it's a different world that we live in these days. I think that's fair to say.
Rico, what have you got for the weekend? And where are you?
Oh, the big one tomorrow, Barnsley. Barnsley. Barnsley versus Sheffield Wednesday.
Great game.
I mean, to be fair, Barnsley, you know, they're on a great run. The only Northern representation in, you know, going for promotion from the Championship. They're going well. I mean, you know, the world of Michael Parkinson, Dickie Bird, Darren Goff.
Darren Moore. I'm at Wimbledon against Carlton tomorrow. I can't wait for that one. Listen, lads, go on. Sorry, Rico, go on. You're going to say something.
No. Go.
All right. I was going to say thanks a lot.
Cheers, guys. Have a lovely weekend.
See you next week.
International break.
Charlie's between a rock and a hard place.
Hey.